Welcome back.
Thanks.
We're going to... Did you have a nice break?
Yes.
Good. Now we're going to talk about how to instruct children and specifically talk about reproof and correction. So in our last session, we learned that instruction in righteousness is accomplished through doctrine, reproof, and correction. And doctrine is right believing. It's the substance of what is taught. We learned that doctrine is specific teaching of God's word, and that the doctrine that God gives directly to children is for them to obey their parents. And that's Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now we'll look specifically at the next two parts of instruction in righteousness, which are reproof and correction. When a child is believing and acting according to the word of God, which includes obeying parents, then there's no need for reproof or correction. Reproof and correction are necessary when a child is not acting according to the word of God, which includes obeying parental rules. Reproof means to convict or to tell one's fault. Reproof is needed when someone is not believing rightly. You tell the child that he or she is wrong. That's reproof. Correction is needed to get the child back on track. Correction is communicating to the child what he or she should be doing and how to correct his or her error. Correction involves redirecting and reteaching of the right doctrine. You can't reprove and correct a child for something that they don't know. You have to teach first, then reprove and correct when needed. In life, there's consequences to disobedience to God. Reproof and correction help children to learn this early in their life. Reproof and correction are not punishment. Reproof and correction are necessary parts of disciplined instruction, just like doctrine. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's look at it again. Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's word gives believers all three parts of instruction in righteousness: doctrine, reproof, and correction. You can't give your child disciplined instruction without reproof and correction. We all need it. Four of the seven church epistles, the all truth of our administration, they're reproof and correction, right? Turn to Proverbs. There's many records in the Old Testament that speak of reproof and correction. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life for us and for our children. With children, we must establish doctrine first. We teach first. Then we reprove and correct when necessary. God tells us how to reprove our children and why. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. God is so good that he put all this in here, so we can know. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. All children are foolish. It takes the rod of correction to drive foolishness away. In this verse, the word translated correction is the Hebrew word musar, which means instruction. and it corresponds to that Greek word paideia, instruction, which we saw in 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So we're looking at it again, and this time let's look. The rod of correction and reproof go hand in hand. They work together to drive away foolishness and bring our children wisdom. Do not use the rod without reproof and correction. Then it's only punishment. Some of you may be wondering what the rod of correction is. So let's look at the word rod. It's translated from a Hebrew word, shebet. And the first usage of the word shebet is translated scepter. And it's in Genesis 49:10. Let's go there. Genesis 49:10. It's really significant. The first usage. Genesis 49, verse 10. You know, kings have scepters, right? Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. A scepter is a staff or a wand that's carried as a symbol of command or sovereignty. It represents the royal power and authority of a king. A king held the scepter to show that he was the ruler over the kingdom. And likewise, the rod represents the parent's God-given authority over the child. Isn't that neat? God gave you that authority. Look at the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. This is a beautiful psalm. It has another example here of the word shebet. And in this psalm, it's translated rod. And the psalmist uses a metaphor to demonstrate how God cares for him. The shepherd uses his rod to care for his sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd would protect and guide his sheep with the rod and the staff. And the sheep are comforted because they know the shepherd's going to take care of them. The sheep are comforted by the rod just as the man is comforted by God's care. The word leadeth in verse 2 and the word comfort in verse 4 are the same Hebrew word. And Bullinger notes them to mean gently lead. As parents, we use the rod of correction to gently lead our children. No, not that way. Go that way. In the Word of God, you can find mention other kinds of rods. A rod of oppression, a rod of iron, the rod of wrath, the rod of anger, the rod of the wicked. But when referring to children and instruction, you'll see that the rod used is always the rod of correction. It's not a rod of anger, not a rod of oppression, not a rod of unbending iron. The rod of correction is used because we love our children. God corrects us because he loves us. A parent uses a rod to show his authority over the child and to get the child's attention so the parent may correct the child's error. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Bullinger notes the words chasteneth him betimes to mean carefully seeketh correction or discipline for him, or seeketh early. In other words, if you love your child, you won't wait to correct him. You must reprove and correct as soon as you are aware that the child has not behaved according to the right doctrine. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Another truth we can realize from this verse is that the rod should never be used as a threat. Rather than telling a child, "If you don't behave, I'll get the rod," we should immediately reprove their foolishness with the rod. Using the rod as a threat turns reproof into a punishment as opposed to what it really is, which is loving instruction. A lot of times it becomes a threat because we're too tired to get up and do it, right? But that's not what it should be. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. That's not the way God wants it. God said that we should chasten them early. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Remember we read in Proverbs 22:15 that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child? And then we read here in Proverbs 1:7 that fools despise wisdom and instruction. So most likely, children will not enjoy the rod of correction, right? But it's profitable for them. Let's look at two more verses that should encourage you. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Here we're going to see the word chasten again, which means to correct or discipline. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. The word spare means lift up. Don't stop for it because he's crying. We don't stop reproving and correcting our children because they cry. Right? We correct the child while there's hope, and we don't lift up or stop for his crying. Look at Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Okay, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from hell. Beat means to hit or strike. Now today, the word beat gives us a bad image in our minds. But God tells us to use the rod of correction. The adversary tells us that chastening is cruel. This is a lie. The adversary has gotten people to think negatively of discipline, reproof, and chastening. But according to God's word, these are positive and necessary things. Who are you going to believe? The rod of correction symbolizes the authority of the word that you have in instructing your child. You hold the standard of the word of God for your child. You represent God and his word to your child. You must decide to use the rod of correction because you believe the word and you love your child. I'm going to repeat that. The rod of correction symbolizes the authority of the word that you have in instructing your children. You hold the word, the standard of the word of God for your child. You represent God and his word to your child. and you must decide to use the rod of correction because you believe the word and you love your child. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In verse 11, that word chastening there, that's paideia, and that's instruction. You must use the rod of correction because you know it's God's will and it's profitable for your children. And here in Hebrews, we see that God chastens us just like an earthly father, but not for his own pleasure. God chastens us with love for our profit. When children are exercised or trained with doctrine, reproof, and correction, then they have fruit in their lives. They have that peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, since this passage also contrasts God's chastening for our profit with man's chastening for his own pleasure, it's worth noting that a good way to prevent our emotions from getting the best of us when disciplining our children is not to take their disobedience personally. You know, your children aren't out to get you. They're not malicious, evil soldiers of Satan. They're they don't sit around planning it out, how they're going to get you. They're just simply foolish. They're foolish children, right? So we need to forgive them, right? How many times has God forgiven us for our disobedience? Every time, right? We're going to look at some common questions about using the rod of correction. In your syllabus, there's the questions. What should I use as a rod of correction? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us what to use as a rod. But since biblical uses of the rod were wood, many parents have chosen to use a wooden spoon as a rod of correction. Whatever you choose, it should be something that you can carry with you and you have it readily available to train your children. I have an example. I dyed it yellow. Now, what if you don't have a rod available? What should you do? Well, since God's word says it's important to correct the children immediately, we should use whatever appropriate instrument is available, even your hand, if that's all you have. How do I use the rod of correction? In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, remember it said, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. Beat means to hit or strike. It doesn't mean, you know, 100 times. It just means a strike, like this. Okay? Like that. So we use the rod of correction to get the child's attention so that you can correct and instruct them. The rod and reproof will give an immediate, clear message to the child and get the child's attention. And you just use as little a strike as necessary to get their attention. That's all it's for, just to get their attention. It's not a punishment. The rod symbolizes your authority. When children see the rod of correction, they will be reminded of God and His Word. The rod is the symbol of your authority and is used to protect and gently lead your children into the right way of believing. The rod is used to drive the foolishness out of the child's heart so you can put God's Word in. God doesn't exaggerate. He says using the rod of correction will save the child's life. Now, when do you use the rod of correction? Early. As soon as the child understands the meaning of the word no and chooses not to obey, begin to use the rod of correction. Use the rod of correction when your child understands your instruction but acts foolishly. As you use the rod of correction, your child will learn obedience and begin to respect your authority. And then eventually we'll learn to respect God and His Word. Now some people may think, well, what about out in public? Well, you have to walk with God. But God will protect you as you endeavor to do God's Word. And you'll be a great witness too. The rod of correction symbolizes the authority of the Word that you have in instructing your children. And you hold the standard of the Word of God for your child. You represent God and His Word. You decide to use the rod of correction because you believe the Word and you love your child. So now I want to look at what the goal of disciplined instruction is. Okay? The goal of disciplined instruction, which is doctrine, reproof, and correction, is that the children will get to know God and believe His Word. Remember, they're going to obey you first. They're going to believe you first. And then eventually they'll learn to obey and believe God. First, teach children the substance of God's Word. We teach standards based on the principles of the Word. Then, use the rod of correction when they demonstrate foolishness. And foolishness is careless behaviors of their mind or their mouth, their body. The rod of correction will get their attention on you. And then you reprove them. You let them know what they're doing that's contrary to God's Word. And last, you correct them. You let them know what God's Word says and what they should be doing. Remember that doctrine, reproof, and correction together are instruction in righteousness. You have to do all three. This is what we nourish our children with, so that they will become mature believers, and parents who instruct their children like this will have rest and delight to their souls. Look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. While God's established a clear pattern of doctrine, reproof, and correction for instruction in righteousness, exactly how you instruct your children will be a moment-by-moment walk with God. God will work in you in each unique circumstance. And remembering God's grace and His mercy and His love is an excellent way to allow God to work in you to take care of your children's hearts. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it shows us an example. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to read 4 through 8. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. We know God wants us to give our children doctrine, reproof, and correction, but God also wants them to know that they are still loved and forgiven, and he'll let us know exactly how to show them that. God's the best example for us as parents. Our Heavenly Father is so kind and loving and good to us, and he's so patient, and he continually encourages us, exhorts us, and comforts us. He delights in us. It's a good thing for parents to remember and exhibit these qualities for their children too. Let's consider an example from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. We give thanks for our children. We pray for them. Think about all the wonderful things they're learning about God. You can encourage your children. One of the greatest ways to rub the word in by repetition is to catch them doing something good and point it out to them. When we see them doing the word of God, let them know. We praise them for doing those good things. Praise them for the discipline that they show in remembering and doing God's word. That will build their confidence and their vision of themselves, because they are important members in the body of Christ and they need to know it. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In verse 28, that word warning is admonishing. The goal of disciplined instruction, doctrine, reproof, and correction is that our children will become mature believers. Like it says in verse 28, perfect. That means finished or completely initiated. The goal of disciplined instruction, doctrine, reproof, and correction is that our children will become mature believers, born again and perfect, finished or completely initiated in Christ Jesus. How do we begin? We begin by building a respect for God. We go for their hearts. Teach the Word of God and hold the standard of the Word of God in your home. Teach every day and in everything you do, and everywhere you go. It's just your life. You teach by talking about God and his word. Teach by being doers of the word. Teach by example. Be watchful and immediately use the rod and reproof and correction to gently lead your children in the right way of believing. Pray for them and love them. The goal of disciplined instruction, doctrine, reproof, and correction is that our children will become mature believers, born again and perfect, finished or completely initiated in Christ Jesus. What a great privilege we have as parents. As Christian parents, we should enjoy sharing this treasure of God's word with our children. It's our life. And as they grow to become mature believers of God's wonderful word, it's our privilege to be there with them. That's what I wanted to share, and I'd like to pray. God, thank you for filling your word with such truth and knowledge that shows us the way to work with our children and to teach them. We thank you, God, that you placed us in the body, that you've called us to be your children, that you are the greatest example for us. And we thank you for all the children that we get to share your word with. We thank you, God, for continuing to teach us all how we can teach and admonish and help all the little ones. And we thank you for all you do for us and all you teach us every day, and for all the wonderful things that we have to look forward to in your living your word together in the body. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.